At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Suspect in the attack on Paul Pelosi seems to be a fan of seemingly pro-Putin, pro-Assad YouTube conspiracy theorist named Jimmy Dore and an anti-Semitic. One of his recent posts says the war in Ukraine will make it easier for the Jews to buy up land. Wow. And then Jimmy Dore says, I confess, right after I blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, I engineered, oh, you're doing the Alex Jones thing.
Have the elected officials not done a good enough job of not only condemning violence across the board, but also turning down the temperature rather than sort of increasing rhetoric all of...
So this is victim blaming. That's what you're doing here. This is really weird. It's like Nancy Pelosi's husband gets attacked with a dude with a hammer, and it's like, so is this the Democrats' fault? Did the Democrats do a good enough job of kind of like lowering the temperature, even though it was a right-winger who just attacked a Democrat? But I feel like this right-winger probably wouldn't have tried to crack Nancy Pelosi's husband's skull with a hammer had Joe Biden actually toned down the temperature. This is kind of on Joe, you know, ultimately. If you're an edgy, anarchy or an edgy online person who's about to be like, I really wish that Pelosi's husband was murdered, or I really hope that Nancy Pelosi gets beaten next or something like that, maybe just leave the stream because my views on assassinating my political opponents remain the same. I'm not for it. I am not for killing the politicians I disagree with. I'm just not for capital punishment, and that's kind of a constant of mine. So while I fucking hate Nancy Pelosi, I do not think her or her husband should be beaten. Guess what? This rule applies to all politicians. I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene should be swatted 8 or 9 times or whatever the number's at right now, or have her family or herself threatened and people trying to kill her. I don't think that's a good thing. I don't want that. I think that she's a raging anti-Semite, a transphobe, a horrifying human being who has no place in public office and should be called out for what she is. But I also don't think she should be assassinated. And if that's a controversial take for you, then this might not be your stream. If you're looking for an edgelord, go to DLive or something. Sure, you can find, Commie Man 69, whatever, who will be like, oh, this is so fucking... He thinks the revolution is happening, comrades.
As we are following this morning, Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, hospitalized at this hour after being attacked with a hammer at the couple's home in San Francisco overnight. We do have our correspondents and analysts standing by. I want to begin with CNN Chief Congressional Correspondent Manu Raju. Manu, we are hearing from the Speaker's office about this incident. What more do we know about the attack?
Yeah, we are still learning more.
Hey, I'm not that kind of anarchist. Oh, that's not me slagging on anarchists, by the way. I love anarchists. Anarchists are fucking based as fuck, okay? It's not me saying that all anarchists... I'm just saying, if you happen to be a terminally online, let's just say, Twitter person, and you think it's super edgy to be like, oh, fucking wish they would take out Pelosi's kids next or something like that. Yeah, I don't understand what that contributes to the discourse. And this is coming from someone who hates Nancy Pelosi. I hate Marjorie Taylor Greene. I hate a lot of politicians. To be honest, there's very few politicians I actually like. Doesn't matter if they're in Canada or America. But I still don't think them or their families should be murdered. Yeah, I know. Spicy takes.
More about this stunning attack at the Speaker's home in San Francisco. She was not there at the time, but her husband, Paul Pelosi, who's 82 years old, was at the time. And what we're learning from law enforcement sources is that an assailant came in and attacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer. Now, the Speaker's office put out a statement about what is happening, what they understand has happened here. They said in the statement, early this morning, an assailant broke into the Pelosi residence in San Francisco and violently assaulted Mr. Pelosi. The assailant is in custody and the motivation for the attack is under investigation. Mr. Pelosi was taken to the hospital where he is receiving excellent medical care and is expected to make a full recovery. The Speaker was not in San Francisco at the time. Now, we have learned that Pelosi was...
Disgusting. After learning that one of his fans attacked Paul Pelosi, Jimmy Dore is already mocking reports and deflecting. Suspect in the attack on Paul Pelosi seems to be a fan of seemingly pro-Putin, pro-Assad YouTube conspiracy theorist named Jimmy Dore and an anti-Semitic. One of his recent posts says the war in Ukraine will make it easier for the Jews to buy up land. Wow. And then Jimmy Dore says, I confess, right after I blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, I engineered, oh, he's doing the, you're doing the Alex Jones thing. Okay, well, I want to put this on black. Alex Jones does this thing where he tries to deflect from what actually happens by being like, I did it, I killed every kid at Sandy Hook, yeah, it was me, I also did 9/11, yeah, no, that was me, I also invented AIDS, yeah, no, I did everything.
The speaker was in D.C. at the time. She has been traveling across the country, raising money, appearing in campaign stops as we head into the critical midterm elections. Sometimes Paul Pelosi travels with her. Oftentimes he does not. He is has his own company, a financial leasing.
Didn't he say he killed Christ or something? Yeah, he's just like, so Channel 5, Andrew, is basically straight up asking very reasonable questions in my assessment. Like, do you have any regrets? Do you want to apologize? Blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, not an unreasonable request, and certainly not one that Alex Jones should be surprised by, for someone to like provoke him by. Like, you know, if someone comes up to you and is like, hey, what are you most known for? Well, I'm very well known for being one of the people who propagated the lie that Sandy Hook was actually a false flag attack. And it's like, okay, so most likely if someone interviews you, they're going to bring this up. This is the thing that you are probably most famous for. This and the ensuing lawsuit, of which it has some of the most, maybe the highest, you know, damages awarded in like a libel or slander case in U.S. history. And then, as soon as that happens, responding with, oh, no, yeah, I'm the worst person. I'm basically Adolf Hitler. I've done everything. I did 9/11. That was me. I flew the planes right into the towers. I did this. I did that. It's like you're just childishly deflecting so you don't have to actually assume any responsibility.
Services company. He's 82 years old. He was in the news recently. He was pleaded guilty to driving under the influence in August. But this comes also as threats of political violence and actual political violence have been playing out in all across the country as we head into these midterm elections. Fears over election worker safety alike. We don't know the motivation of why this assailant broke into the Pelosi home, whether it was politically motivated or not. That is something that is still under investigation. We will learn more, report that when we learn more about it. But a staggering and scary moment at the Pelosi home as the speaker's husband attacked by a hammer.
Yeah, absolutely. Manu, appreciate it. We'll continue to stay in touch with you.
Okay, so I have a thread here that Dave the Serfs just sent me about the attacker. And outside of being a very consummate Jimmy Dore watcher, this individual also has a lot of opinions on both Jewish people and Black Adam the movie. Now, I don't ever want to give, either people who are mass murderers or who commit acts of violence attention to their socials and stuff. So I'm not going to put it on screen, but for research purposes, I will read you some of these thoughts that this individual has on Black Adam. Black Adam. The critics are fucking commie gatekeepers. They love the shittiest movies ever, as long as those movies are shitty. Because, moving on. The Big Brother censorship hell. Obey. Let Big Brother tell you what to do and are allowed to think and know. And they hate women. A lot of discussion about women. That is not the narrative. The narrative is to hate men and to cater to women because women are more easily manipulated using groupthink. The reason we have the First Amendment is because censorship only applies to you, the elites, ruling class, and the Jews. You can still turn on any mainstream news channel to hear day and night the narrative put forth by the people who rule you. The Founding Father built in protection against censorship coming from the government because they never imagined a day where tech giants and private industry would be so powerful they could single-handedly silence the people. Good and normal. All right, sorry, back to Black Adam. The critics are fucking commie gatekeepers. They love the shittiest movies ever, as long as those movies are shitty, because they were shitting communism down the public's throat. The critics constantly hate the movies the public loves, and loves movies that are absolute trash. These people need to lose their jobs. They are crappy at their job, and only use it to push their commie agenda. But, by the way, good movie. Enjoyed it a lot. Fantastic performance by Mr. The Rock. He carried the movie. As far as wokeism destroys movies. The wokeism in this movie was the diversity hire CGI character... The diversity higher CGI character. Oh, excuse me. Oh, if you're just tuning in, by the way, we're reading out the review of Black Adam by the person who just attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband, who happens to be a massive fan of Jimmy Dore. I return. The giant white guy who was the demeaning, white people character. Oh, okay, sorry. Clearly has some issues that they're working out. The giant white guy who was the demeaning white people character, and the old white guy who was the kill white people character, because minorities character. The plot holes in the movie arise from the fact that the plot of the movie was actually about kill old white men and not about Black Adam. Think I'm wrong? Why put Black Adam in jail if you can see the future? By the way, I haven't seen Black Adam. I don't know if these are spoilers. I don't intend on watching theaters, so I'm not too worried. But if reading an anti-Semitic Jimmy Dore fan's review of Black Adam thinks that you may spoil the film, I'll throw that out there. I have no idea. I return. The only thing it did for the plot was kill the old white guy. Together they outnumbered and overpowered the bad guy. The only reason to put Black Adam in jail was to kill white people. Half of the movie was about putting Black Adam in jail. So making a movie about killing white people was more important to their Black Adam movie than making a movie about Black Adam. The lamest thing in this movie was the team. The only reason the team was in the movie was to push a kill white people plot. Has anyone here seen Black Adam? Is it about white genocide? Because this is the first time I've heard this take. I'm assuming maybe if you watch lots of Jimmy Dore, this is how you walk away from it. The only one on this team with any depth to the character was the bird guy. Then they basically erase his contribution at the end by having the helmet disappear into CGI in his hands. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, all that matters is kill white people. Your excuse for killing white people in all white nations doesn't matter. At the end of the day, your excuse why you have to kill all white people is just a MacGuffin. It's a plot device and excuse for the genocide of the whites. It doesn't matter what your excuse is. All that matters is kill all white people. That's why MacGuffin helmet disappeared. Because it was irrelevant to the story, it was the only way to kill white people, true to the plot of the movie. But, like, how did you get so much kill white people out of this? Like, literally, Mr. The Rock was the co-pilot to his own film. Instead of the story being about Black Adam, the real plot of the story was kill all white people. Black Adam was just a plot device for Hollywood to push their white hate narrative. Like, literally, the true story of the film was to kill white people. Black Adam was ultimately supporting character to Hollywood's white hate agenda. I feel like you said the same thing, like, 12 times. Lamal, the only white guy that died was the guy who played James Bond in the 90s. Oh, Pierce Brosnan. I love Pierce Brosnan. He's great. He can do no wrong. I was like, I gotta watch that, and then they make a fucking secondary character in the own fucking film. Like, I'm laughing so fucking hard right now. Fuck, they shit of Mr. Rock so hard. This is so disrespectful. Making him second fiddle to Hollywood's white hate. Mind blown. They give him his own superhero movie, and then make it about something else, probably without noticing. Because, you know, woke and shit right. Does this count as adultery? Because holy fuck, they cheated him. All that's not to say it's a bad movie. Like, I'm so offended by this movie that propagates white genocide, but it wasn't that bad. all said, it was kind of shitty that there's all this white genocide in the movie and it's ultimately about white genocide, but, you know, 7 out of 10. Would watch again. I enjoyed it more than most high-budget trash coming out of Hollywood. The woke agenda was crammed down your throat, but subtly. Enough for most people, they probably missed it. It wasn't like most Hollywood movies, where the wokeism is so obvious and apparent, it feels like you're paying to eat shit for the entire runtime. Oh. Is wokeism in the room right now? Did wokeism hurt you? Worst film I ever watched was The Last Jedi. Surprise, surprise. It was the highest budget piece of trash I've ever seen in my life. I think The Last Jedi should win an award for how crappy it was. Like, literally, they set a new record. That had to be the fastest any big budget Hollywood movie went to crap. Like, literally within the first 5 minutes, the movie had gone to shit. The highest officers in the enemy fleet were acting like unrealistic buffoons. It was neither funny nor compelling. They then followed up with having some guy in a flying tin can. By the way, you're not doing a Black Adam review anymore. Anyways, single-handedly defeat the new Death Star. Why stop there? If he is so good and he can easily defeat the most powerful ship in the entire enemy space fleet, why not take out those other weaker capital ships? It's not like he exploited a weakness while being supported by the rest of the fleet in battle. No, 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 no. He single-handedly defeated the most powerful ship in the head of Umbrella. Scramble fighters, nah. Put up the shield, nah. Make sure you aim to miss. And where just are you supposed to swallow this? Because the writers got lazy? Then later, strong, independent, bitchy woman with pink hair Ergo SJW, Valiant sacrifices her life for everyone. If you can take out the entire fleet by sacrificing one ship, it makes the space battles obsolete. I love that all of these hardcore, like, misogynists and racists, like, they get so upset about, like, realism. Why is my space war movie not realistic? I can't hear the explosions in space. If you can take out an entire fleet by sacrificing one ship, it makes the space battles obsolete. You don't need to engage the enemy's forces with your forces when one ship is enough to take out the entire enemy's fleet. In fact, you don't need to build ships anymore. You can build remote-controlled warp engines with enough mass to nuke the fleet. Yes, that's right. With this one scene, they nuked the entire Star Wars franchise. They completely negated the need for space battles. For example... And I just picture this dude typing this out on an old-fashioned typewriter. For example, I believe that the Rebel fighters are equipped with warp engines, while the TIE fighters are not. So instead of attacking the Death Star with everything they had and having countless people die, they could have just nuked it with a fighter. The pilot could have been ejected, destroy the Death Star, and the entire enemy fleet with zero casualties, except for the pilot who's now just basically dying in the vacuum of space. But if a fighter isn't enough, they could have brought in one empty capital ship, skeleton crew, engage warp, and then eject to safety in life pods. Worth it to take out the Death Star. I mean, I think it's okay to laugh at the fash, right? I think we're just having fun laughing at Jimmy Dore fascist fucking fans. Then it's all downhill from here. Finn is trying to sacrifice... This is a Black Adam review, by the way. Finn is trying to sacrifice himself to save everyone. But Derwoke says you can't have a male sacrifice himself for the good of others. So, of course, Diversity Hire has to crash him in to stop him because she loves him. Okay, number one. How did she catch up if her speeder goes at the same speed? He's going at full speed and he had a head start. Number two. At that speed, crashing into him should be fatal. How is that saving him? He attempted to murder him so that his sacrifice would have no meaning. Number three, where is the enemy? They are speeding towards enemy lines. Shouldn't they have crashed like 50 to 100 feet from the enemy position? Why isn't the enemy shooting at them? Enemies are standing there like, nah, bro, don't shoot. They are in love. We'll kill them 5 minutes from now when we crack their base. Number four, they should be gravely injured. Number five, how did they outrun the enemy back to their base on foot and injured? It's just like, fuck plot, fuck good writing, fuck storyline. We can't have a man sacrifice himself to save people. Only der bitchy social justice warrior Wamin that nobody likes can be a self-sacrificing hero. I so wanted Capitals that movie to be good, but the plot holes were so bad it was like sitting through 2 hours of brain rape. He spelt through as in going through something, so that's why I'm confused by how... Anyways, but it was all worth it in the end because they brought Carrie Fisher back from the dead to play a zombie Jedi. Wow. Such strong opinions about Black Adam. They had a lot of videos about Holocaust denier. One called Holohoax. One called It's Not Okay to Be White, apparently. Another one called Holohoax. Two Holohoax. So, yeah, the hardcore Holocaust denier. There's not a single element of right-wing culture that they did not buy into. Hated Amber Heard, went all in against Amber Heard, posted lots of Amber Heard, tons of Johnny Depp is innocent posts. Really, really hated Wamin. Equality for Wamin was one video. Equality for Wamin was another video. Keisha was another video. Wamin are systematically oppressed. Lol was another video. Yeah. So...
as you have those developments. Also joining me now, CNN Chief Law Enforcement.
And I gotta say, Jimmy, I know you're watching. I think maybe, because we've watched other videos where people are being interviewed, MAGA people, and they're like, do you like anyone on the left? Can you mention a single left? And they often will say Jimmy Dore. Like, they'll be like, the only person on the left I actually like is Jimmy Dore. Like, he actually tells it like it is, you know? He's not like, he doesn't care if it's like corporate Democrats or corporate Republicans, it's Jimmy Dore. So if you have someone who's now a huge Jimmy Dore fan and basically just tried to murder Nancy Pelosi and her husband, and you're trying to deflect from that, being like, yeah, I did it, it was me, I orchestrated orchestrated. No, no one's saying you orchestrated it, but you might want to look into what exactly is the philosophy that you're espousing and what exactly is it inspiring in other people who watch you, right?
Enforcement and intelligence analyst John Miller and CNN law enforcement analyst, former D.C. Metropolitan Police officer Michael Fanone. Gentlemen, good to see you both this morning. So, John, if I start with you, if we look at what we do know, what we don't know, there's still a lot we don't know, but we know that there's a suspect in custody. This is what's what.
Glenn Youngkin joked about the assassination attempt on Nancy Pelosi.
And the voters are getting ready to stand up again and said, we have had enough. Enough of Abigail Spanberger, enough of Joe Biden. And listen, I want to stop for a minute and listen, Speaker Pelosi's husband.
What is your opinion on Bill C-11?
Worshipper of the Olympians, thank you for the $10. I stated before that I think Canadian oversight of the internet web pages in the same way the CRTC operates sounds as if it has a good intention, as in it's being advertised as, hey, by the way, we're going to be able to censor things we don't like. In practice, all it does is promote mainstream corporate content. So if you don't know this, in Canada, there is a rule that states that on the radio or TV, 33% of everything has to be Canadian. So if you're listening to radio in Canada, 33% of the songs played have to be Canadian. Now, I understand that's because America media dominates. And I guess in the early days, Canada was like, well, we got to help out our, you know, well, sorry. People were like, oh, yeah, see, we got to help each other out then, eh? You got to have yourself a good old Canadian content there. Yeah, let's play some Canadian music then. Yeah, let's, we got a little Shania Twain going on here, didn't they? But it's actually in essence, it just promotes mainstream corporate entities more than anything else. So I don't support it. I'm not for it. I think it's basically going to turn YouTube into a worse version of YouTube, which already sucks. That's not to say that I'm not against governments regulating big tech. I think governments should regulate big tech. I think Europe leads the charge and that kind of stuff. But I think in terms of the way this is worded and framed, yeah, that's my two cents. I don't support it, and I think that it's honestly trying to just promote corporate content over small creators. It would be awesome if the whole idea was that they were going to promote and uplift small YouTubers and small creators in Canada. That would be fucking base as shit, but that's not what it's about. Yeah. Dental care benefit? Yes. I saw the dental care benefit pass. But, like, let's be frank. The dental care benefit, which I think was completely downvoted by conservatives. The conservatives in the Bloc. Why did the Bloc vote against it? No dental care for you, huh? I do like it, but I don't like all the means testing, and I don't like that it's basically only applicable to people who have kids, because there's people who don't have kids who can't afford dental care and need it. I don't think it goes nearly enough. It feels kind of like a crumb of dental care. It's better than the fact that there was nothing before. I'm definitely stoked that, you know, there is something where there was nothing before, but at the same time, there should be more. There should absolutely be more. I like the thing for me that I really like about the dental care potential is that it could help out the people who need it the most, which happen to be a lot of people who live in reserves, indigenous people who don't have access to dentists or dental care.
They had a break in last night in their house and he was assaulted. There's no room for violence anywhere, but we're going to send her back to be with him in California. That's what we're going to go do.
I don't know if I would read that one as directly endorsing violence.
Was referred to as a violently assaulted, according to that statement from the Speaker's office. And we've learned from law enforcement that a hammer was used. As you're putting all these pieces together, what are some of the first questions that you're asking?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing right now is you've got a 32-year-old man in custody. He comes into the home after 2 a.m. with a hammer.
Big old Jimmy Dore fan.
And attacks the residents there, who happens to be Mr. Pelosi. So you start off your questions with, where was he taken into custody? Was he taken into custody in the home, at which point identification becomes much stronger, or based on a description outside the home in the area picked up by police? We don't know that yet. What statements did he make before or during this attack or after to police? Are they politically motivated statements, irrational statements, or was he there for something else? This is a day after we did extensive reporting on a threat assessment based on the political climate. We still don't know if this has anything to do with that, but the Speaker of the House
kind of.
Is...
I don't know. I think, like, it's not a new thing. you know, obviously violence being directed towards politicians in the U.S. That's not new. It's not new globally anywhere. But you are seeing kind of a ramping up of it, not to mention some kind of strange celebration of it in certain circles. I can just tell you unequivocally, I do not think the solution to any of these problems is to physically harm politicians. And I say that, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene is an anti-Semite. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a hateful, bigoted, terrible person, a transphobe of the highest order. She is doing a lot of damage by having a microphone and being in the public sphere. She's a horrifying human being. I don't think that she should be swatted. I don't think that she should be attacked. I don't think that she should be murdered. I don't think that she should be physically harmed. That's not the solution to this. Marjorie Taylor Greene and a lot of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene are kind of symptoms rather than they are the causal root. I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene, the same thing with Kanye West. I don't think Kanye West is the source of anti-Semitism. You're seeing a lot of people being openly brazen and proud right now because the the floodgates have opened. We can all be anti-Semites, right?
I could say anti-Semitic thing.
So there's no question that Kanye West is not a raging anti-Semite and also an anti-Semite with a very large platform and microphone, but he is not creating anti-Semitism. He is emboldening anti-Semites. He's emboldening them to be more open and proud. He's emboldening white supremacists who are now we got the pass. I don't even need the N-word pass. I got the anti-Semite pass from Ye. That is all true. But he's not the source of racism. He's not the source of anti-Semitism. It's the same thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. These problems are much larger than a single Donald Trump or a single Marjorie Taylor Greene or a single Ye, any of these figures. And that's honestly what you have to go after and tackle, rather than being if we just could get rid of this one person, all our problems would be gone. You got rid of Donald Trump, and it seems all these problems are still here. These people aren't the causes of it. They are symptoms of it. They make things
an enormously powerful official in the scope of the U.S. government in the line of succession, and receives 24-hour protection from the Capitol Police. When she travels to places like New York, she receives additional protection from the NYPD, and the same in San Francisco. But family members, as we see here, can be vulnerable. So there's a lot to ask still.
And in terms of security, I'm curious, your time there in Washington, D.C., we've talked a lot, of course, over the last couple of years about how the different law enforcement agencies within the district work together and how specifically that comes into play when it's about security for a lawmaker. As John's pointing out, the family is a little bit different. Would Paul Pelosi have had extra security, especially if he was home in California versus being in Washington, D.C. with the speaker?
It's doubtful. U.S. Capitol Police.
That of the robot censored your speech. You got censored.
Wholly.
You might have used a naughty word.
Unprepared, understaffed to take on the rise in substantiated threats against members of Congress. I think they're just simply understaffed.
It's because you used the word fuck. That's why. So the message is, who the fuck wants to consume anything the Canadians make? The only good shit that comes out of Canada is from Black people and Native people. Our culture is so American that when I talk to my American friends, I say, we are as I am, an American. I wouldn't say I agree with that. I think there is good content that comes out of Canada. Unfortunately, some of the good content that comes out of Canada turns out to be made by garbage people like Arcade Fire. But I used to like Arcade Fire. I have to get rid of my Arcade Fire tickets somehow. I bought my mom Arcade Fire tickets for Christmas last year, and that was before it turned out the lead singer of Arcade Fire likes to drop into 18-year-olds' DMs and send dick pics and does it a lot. And apparently a lot of different people have stories of how he drops into their DMs because he sees that they're Arcade Fire fans and sends them dick pics. And it's you shouldn't do that. That's really fucked up behavior. And now my mom's I'm not going to go. And I'm okay, well, in solidarity, mama, I won't go either. But it's Ticketmaster, which means I can't get rid of these. There's nothing I can do. I guess Beck just dropped out of the Canadian tour. Beck's nah, I'm not going to be a part of that. And so, Beck's dropping out. And so, we're going to replace Beck with some Haitian you know, indie band that no one's heard of before. And if you bought tickets because you wanted to see Beck, of which I am amongst them because I'm a huge Beck fan too, you know, there's that whole thing. No, there's no refunds. I already tried. Our Lady Peace is cool. Our Lady Peace is great. Tragically Hip is good too. Kids in the Hall, amazing. They're amazing. Trailer Park Boys, very funny. Rick Moranis, you know, tons of classic comedians. Jim Carrey, outside of the anti-vax stuff, is pretty good. Keanu Reeves, we all like Keanu Reeves. He's good stuff, you know. He can do no wrong, I think.
So if they're simply understaffed and we...
Oh, and if you're talking about music, there's an amazing amount of Canadian music that's not Nickelback or you know, Drake or Justin Bieber. You know, I mean, if you need pop, go with The Weeknd out of all those. But there's the Deadmau5, Chromeo, they're you know, both Canadian.
Look at the rise that we have seen in rhetoric, the rise in threats. And again, it is important to point out, as both Manu and John have said, and we've been saying all morning, we don't know the motivation for this attack. We don't know if there is anything political behind it.
Rush.
But we can't ignore the warnings that we've seen from the NYPD here in New York City and really across the country about violent rhetoric. And, you know, Michael Fanon, of all people sitting here right now, unfortunately, you know better than anyone what that can translate to. When you look at what we do know, what is your major concern this morning?
Neil Young, the GOAT.
I mean, my major concern is that...
Hey, Loss, good to see you. Everyone go to Twitch.tv.
The rhetoric that inspired the attack on the Capitol and the rhetoric that continues to inspire individuals to commit acts of violence for political reasons continues unchecked.
Okay, so I'm curious, because this is a Jimmy Dore fan, but obviously he's into a lot of right-wing stuff. Screenshot of the anti-Semitic video. Okay, hold on. I don't want to put this on screen because I don't want to promote. I'm assuming the channel's been deleted, but the suspect in the attack on Paul Pelosi seems to be a fan of seemingly pro-Putin, pro-Assad YouTube conspiracy theorist named Jimmy Dore and is also anti-Semitic. One of his recent posts is the war in Ukraine will make it easier for the Jews to buy up land. Screenshot of the anti-Semitic video from the suspect in the attack on Paul Pelosi, posted 3 days ago with the caption, "That's some pretty sick Jewing going on if true. Bomb the country into shit so the residents leave. Buy the land up cheap, then pay to have it all rebuilt." Same post as another pro-Putin propagandist, Jimmy Dore, blaming the West for Russia's war on Ukraine. The suspect implored Trump to make Tulsi Gabbard his VP nominee. Please pick Tulsi. She's my mother. The suspect on the same day last week urged Trump to make Tulsi Gabbard his VP and then posted a photo of a gas chamber. Nice. Suspect attack on Paul Pelosi, October 19th, post about Kanye West. See, that's the fucked up thing. Kanye West is just like... allowing all these anti-Semites to think that it's completely socially acceptable all of a sudden to be like this. Then makes several virulently anti-Semitic posts, including about Auschwitz and gas chambers. He blames the Jews for the war in Ukraine. Wow. Jimmy Dore, really, really firing out the winners here. Also urging Trump to run with Tulsi Gabbard. A lot of posts reference red pills. Is that QAnon? Reference a term popular amongst the online far right. Registered to a domain... Interesting. Oh, and obviously a ton of stuff about election fraud.
And that, unfortunately, it seems as though our app...
By the way, surprise, Jimmy Dore, remember when he was flirting with, like, we should align with the Boogaloo Boys. What are the Boogaloo Boys about? Apparently they want the same things as us. That's what my understanding of the Boogaloo Boys is, that they're against the police state. They're against authoritarian governments. I mean, there's nothing more lefty than that. Apparently they're pro-LGBTQ. They're very misunderstood. I don't know what they're about or anything about them. I don't actually even know what they are, but I'm going to invite one of them to be a key speaker on my show and platform, a Boogaloo Boy. And then it's like, everyone was aghast because we're all like, no, the Boogaloo Boys are a far right extremist group. They're trying to usher in a race war. That's what they want. They're trying to lead us towards a race war, and then by getting there, they will inevitably come out on top. Is their goal? But that's what they're about. Like, there's a lot of articles and documents. Like, do you have Google, Jimmy? Come on. I don't know how many producers you got to fire to get here, but they're not good people. You know,
tight for the inspiration of January 6th has waned. It hasn't been a major part of the conversation going into the midterms, and those responsible have yet to be held accountable. And that being said, I know that, you know, from the many.
Well, not only that, I don't know if they will be. I like here's the reality of our current situation, why it's so fucked up, is that the right are evolving into fascism before your very eyes. They're proudly calling themselves Christian nationalists right now, proudly vilifying marginalized groups, doing the exact populist rhetoric, which is that you have to make a dominant group feel as if they are oppressed. They want to reinforce, obviously, patriarchy, white supremacy, all that kind of stuff, going after trans people, going after gay people, going after every different, historically marginalized group as the source of your problems, going after immigrants, going after it's like it's never ending. It's outpouring from the right, and they're doing it and evolving so quickly. And the liberals, on the other hand, are definitely not equipped to meet the occasion. Like it's like, okay, well, that's pretty egregious what's happening over there on that side of the aisle. But I still believe in my heart of hearts that we should reach across that aisle and find places in which we agree, okay? The other side is definitely saying that women shouldn't have bodily autonomy and they want to control women and turn them into breeding pods. That is true, and we do not agree with that. We are better than that. We are liberals. But we do need to find ways in which we can work together. Can we not meet the occasion together and work on something? Like, if one side of the aisle is just straight up being like, we don't want trans people to exist, that's what we're about. We don't want trans people to exist. We want to stop trans people from existing. So this is going to be a thing that we try to enact in policy. You can see it in the things that we draft and legislate. Lindsey Graham coming forward and be like, well, I just believe that we should ban abortion in all exceptions. Like, well, let's just do it. Like, okay, so this is what you're about. You're drawing the line in the sand very clearly. What do you have to work with them on? Where will you find common ground with someone who wants to, like, control women's bodies to such a degree that it reverts them to the fucking medieval times? Like, I don't understand where you're going to find a common place between those two.
Members of Congress that I speak to, just like myself, have had to seek private contractors to provide security. Them, because U.S. Capitol Police is unequipped. And me, because I have no other alternative. But for those of us that continue to speak out against Donald Trump, those threats are an everyday reality.
John, when we look...
And by the way, they're doing this simultaneously while doing the, like, oppression Olympics, as in, like, you're not oppressed, but, oh, man, you wish you were. Like, so many of these right-wingers and conservatives, they just, like, reach down, take off their own boots, hold the boot to their face, and then like, oh God, do you see what the woke is doing to us? Do you see what cancel culture has done to us? Look at this. The oppression of the wokeism. There's so much wokery. The great wokening has happened. Save me, Elon. Only Elon Musk can save me. Oh, he's done it. Oh, thank you, Elon. We are no longer censored. We have complete and utter control over what we say. Unleash the N-word, all of you. I was going to save this for later, but since we're talking about Jimmy Dore, one of his fans being the one who was attacking Nancy Pelosi's husband, I think it would be a good time to speak about a little bit more Jimmy Dore. Here's something you might not know, and this is from back in the day, okay? Back in the day, Jimmy Dore, when he eventually decided that he wanted to turn against Bernie Sanders and attack him, this was around the time that Donald Trump was still president, you may recall. Comrade Kool-Aid. Thank you, comrade. I appreciate it. You may remember this. Donald Trump was still president. It was a scary time. And it really looked like Bernie Sanders was going to win. We all had hope in our hearts. I remember I cried many a tear the day that everything fell apart and the corporate Democrat fucking assholes decided to make this weird blob beast of combining the CLOB and Pete Buttigieg and getting them all like, you must all simultaneously drop out for the good of this country and then we will have Joe Biden ascend to the throne. Like, it was disgusting. The same thing just happened in Canada. It seems like whenever progressives are about to win in elections, corporate Democrats, corporations, capitalism, it all just coalesces and it's like, no, stop. We're not letting this happen. You don't get democracy. No democracy for you. And I understand why that would disillusion a lot of people. And certain people, being more mature than others, are able to basically be like, all right, well, I can acknowledge that that just happened. That's fucked. And we need to fight against that. And we need to build up more power. And a lot more power is going to come to us, not from the political system, but through worker power, by the way. The more we have unions, the more we have worker cooperatives, the more we have strength, the less people suffer in their jobs, because that's where they spend their 9 to 5 and all their fucking hours of a day. If they don't have to suffer as much in their workplace, they will have more power to do action. activism and other stuff. So if their lives are better, if they have financial security, food security, healthcare security, security for their children, for their family, they will be more powerful. And through that power, because there is way more of us workers than there are the fucking owning class, we will then have the power to be able to fight back against this. More so than once every 4 years, we get to run the magic thing and see which way the pendulum swings. You know, and don't get me wrong, I am very active in politics, especially local politics. I canvass, I fucking knock on doors, I do all that kind of shit. Oh, hold on.
If they aren't as oppressed as minorities, then in their minds, they're not the main characters.
True, worshipper of the Olympians. Thank you for the other $10. But anyways, when it comes to those local elections, I'm all for it. I'm not trying to shit on politics. I'm just saying that politics in and of itself is not the start and the end of activism. Or protesting or trying to fight against corrupt and injustice. Like, that it should not be your only tool. It should be one of many tools that you have. So it sucks. It's fucking brutal. But if you are mature, you can understand why you shouldn't vote for a fascist, or you should abstain from voting if a fascist can then come into power. Like, it, trust me, it's the worst pill to swallow. I have voted for a liberal in my time. Yes, in the Canadian elections, I voted for a liberal who actually became independent and it was also indigenous, so I kind of got a free pass there. But either way, I voted for a liberal because I wanted to give enough liberals the power to be able to oust Stephen Harper and usher in our blackface Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, because Stephen Harper was doing horrifying things in this country for a very long time. I had about 8 or 9 years of it, and I was like, this is so gross. You know what? For the first time in my life, I'm going to vote for a liberal MP. I'm going to vote for a lib. Yep, I'm doing it. Because fuck it. It's just, in my assessment, the mature decision, rather than have this asshole cling to power because all of us are just like, oh, I'm going to go all over the place. It sucks. So I understand Americans, especially American lefties, how many of you must have hated checkmarking Joe Biden. I get it. Because I did the same thing, and I know the feeling. I know the gross feeling. You have to take 12 showers. You have to purge everything that's in your body. But I get it. I understand. But you have done a harm reduction. That's basically in the process. Because you're not a little baby, you know? You're not a bunch of little babies who sit there being like, oh boy, I'm upset, and I want to protest, and so maybe I'm an accelerationist now. I'm an accelerationist, and in comes Donald Trump for another 4 years. Because I just want to accelerate everything. Because I'm mad. No. You know, it sucks. We even voted for Hillary. And I get it. I totally get it. Hey, if you are a true utilitarian, and you understand that there's going to be a less shitty outcome. There's a shitty outcome, but it's less shitty if Joe Biden came to power. And to be frank, Americans, it has been, I'm going to be honest, just from a global perspective, the fact that drone strikes went from this to that is a good thing. For anyone not living in America, especially people in poor nations who were getting bombed the fuck under Trump, it is a good thing that drone strikes went from this to that. Objectively. I'm sorry. Every gray zone and fucking I am against the Imperial Corps fucking asshole who loves to talk about how Trump was fucking a nationalist and an isolationist. No, he wasn't, motherfuckers. You like, just look at the raw numbers. Look at the amount of drone strikes. It increased under Trump. There were more drone strikes under Trump than under Obama, and then Biden came into power and they went blah, and the number just fell off. So objectively, for the rest of the world, that's a better thing if America isn't bombing the fuck out of other countries, especially poor countries. I'm for that. All this being said, the reason I'm bringing this all up is because back in that time, Namertick, thank you for the Prime, I appreciate it, got my Prime back, and you used it well, used it wisely. The reason I'm bringing this all up is because back in the day, under Trump, right after, coalescing, Bernie Sanders, his entire career has kind of had to deal with this, what I'm just talking about, which is like, yeah, the system's fucked, it's corrupt, capitalism is a motherfucker, but you know what, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm just going to keep fighting for the people. The same thing just happened here locally with the NDP, and I'm going to be honest, I'm having trouble following my own principles right now, because the leader of the BC NDP is a milquetoast centrist, and the person who should have won, Anjali Appaduri, she is a far leftist who actually got more votes, but they did a whole coup and they've outed her, and now he's ascended to the throne, and she's doing the Bernie Sanders thing. She's doing the I'm not leaving the party, I'm not withdrawing my membership, I'm going to fight within the party, I'm going to continue to fight for the environment and fight to protect you, blah blah blah. So same thing with Bernie Sanders. It's like, you get get fucked over. You get corporate Democrats like fucking Barack Obama just like, you know, dropped his pants and pissed all over Bernie Sanders' face. And still, Bernie Sanders gets up, wipes the piss off his face, and is like, I'm now going to go and canvass. He is doing more canvassing and political shit right now before the midterms than a lot of corporate Democrats. Bernie Sanders is, he's old as fuck, and still, he's like, I'm going to go to this place, I'm going to go to that place, I'm going to do this, I'm going to promote this person, I'm going to go help promote, you know, the LA local election, I'm going to go promote John Fetterman, I'm going to go do this. Like, it's a lot of fucking work, but it's basically someone who's like, I'm going to continue to fight. It sucks, I'm fighting within the system, but I'm not a baby, you know? I'm not a little baby who suddenly is like, oh, I just don't want my hair. Back in the day, Jimmy Dore was really, really upset at Bernie Sanders. So he says, liar in chief, according to a new report, Trump has made 19,127 false or misleading claims since taking office. A new poll finds only 35% of Americans believe he is honest. In a democracy, we can have different views, but not a president who is a pathological liar. Jimmy Dore, shut up and go back to telling everyone how your good friend Joe Biden is going to fix everything and lying for him about his dementia. This is stupid. Not as stupid as you voting for the largest upward transfer of wealth in human history, but close. This goes on for a while. Sorry, I hear you, and I'm going to let you know that I'm setting up a task force on how to better highlight a more representative sample of Bernie's tweets. Hashtag, thanks for the setup. Bernie didn't run a perfect campaign, and that's not what it would have taken to even stand a chance against the Democratic establishment, but he still has done a lot of good work for us. We should criticize his shortcomings, but also appreciate his successes. Same way we do with Tulsi. Wah, wah, how did this one work out? Stop apologizing for Bernie's horribleness and betrayal. What's the Ness? Is this like a Loch Ness Monster joke? I can't tell. He does a lot of dad jokes. Or maybe he just accidentally typoed this and didn't, I don't know. And betrayal. You obviously don't know what was in the CARES Act. That was straight up bullshit betrayal of not only progressives, but the entire country. Start pressuring your elected leaders, please. And stop apologizing for them like a cult. The CARES Act. The largest transfer of wealth in human history. The CARES Act, I'm sure you remember it. So Donald Trump did a, let's say, kind of a COVID relief plan before Joe Biden's COVID relief plan. Donald Trump's similar. You could get, businesses could get loans, especially for things involving lockdown measures or stuff like that, under lockdowns. I think a lot of people forget that under the pandemic, it actually started under Trump and then transferred over to Biden. Either way, you can get loans and stuff like that. But Jimmy Dore definitely was really angry about that and thought it was a horrifying thing and definitely worth calling out. Did videos on it, you know.
These things become finalized.
So what?
Stimulus bill, an abomination beyond comprehension. Hashtag Bernie folded. As in, this is disgusting. It is absolutely revolting that Bernie Sanders voted for the CARES Act, that he voted for a Donald Trump-style stimulus bill, like at a time where this is just going to transfer wealth into the hands of the very few.
They're really pumping in. So I don't understand those numbers. But what I know is that they're going to give $425 million to the Fed.
God damn.
And then the Fed is going to give out that money to corporations.
Ugh.
at the Treasury Department and the Fed's behest. And there's no accounting for where they're going to spend that money before they spend it. There's only going to be a perfunctory oversight board of five people who are going to look into $4.2 trillion worth of money given out.
Like, again, as Jimmy Dore is saying, this is one of the largest transfers of wealth into the hands of the very wealthy. This is an egregious thing that happened. Bernie Sanders signed off on it. Shame on you, Bernie Sanders. How could you do this? How could you let this transfer of wealth happen into the hands of Jimmy Dore? Four Door Productions got a loan amount for $33,800. Amount forgiven, $34,262. Wow, for three people. So Jimmy Dore, Jimmy Dore's wife, and I assume Jimmy Dore's producer, I'm going to say. Well, I mean, the producer got fired, but either way, yeah, good call out, Jimmy. Damn. Yeah, it feels great. Feels good. Feels real, real good. And here's the thing about these kind of call-outs, you know, ultimately. Are you suggesting that you are the very wealthy? Are you suggesting that you're the ones who are corrupt? Are you suggesting that this was a terrible program because you got money from it? Or is it just hypocritical? Is it just that, like, well, you know what? I'm going to call this program out, but it would be silly for me not to take advantage of it. I mean, I'm not made of stone. Come on. We have a company here. We have to pay our employees, a.k.a. my wife, and perhaps the producer who may or may not exist. We're not sure. Oh, and it's the grift. The Jimmy Dore grift. Oh, it's the grift. It was a late night grift, and he's a grift. He's more than... and so, before anyone says, hey, this is not Jimmy Dore, yes, if you go to Jimmy Dore's official website, it says that his company is called Four Dore Productions Incorporated, registered. Yes, this is Jimmy Dore. His loan status was forgiven. He will spend a lot of time complaining about this shit and saying that it's fucking egregious. And how dare Bernie Sanders vote for this? How dare he? But I want some of that money. I want some of that sweet, sweet money. Gotta have a little bit, you know? Anyways, Jimmy Dore is a grifter of the highest order. He should be called out for such, and it seems like his fans are kind of dangerous. By the way, for the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband, Fox Business correspondent says, divisive. Biden is to blame for the attack on Pelosi's home. It's because you're divisive. President Biden, you got up to the podium and said you were going to bring us together. So Nancy Pelosi's husband gets it? Is that you said you were going to bring us together? So her husband gets hurt.
Yeah, and not everyone in their homes is safe, as Paul Pelosi's situation has now demonstrated frighteningly. And Jackie, is it too late? Is the climate of violence, politically motivated or otherwise, again, we don't know in this particular situation, is it too far to go back? Have the elected officials not done a good enough job of not only condemning violence across the board, but also turning down the temperature rather than sort of increasing rhetoric all across?
So this is victim blaming. That's what you're doing here. This is really weird. It's like Nancy Pelosi's husband gets attacked with a dude with a hammer. And it's like, so is this the Democrats' fault? Did the Democrats do a good enough job of kind of like lowering the temperature, even though it was a right winger who just attacked a Democrat? But I feel like this right winger probably wouldn't have tried to crack Nancy Pelosi's husband's skull with a hammer had Joe Biden actually toned down the temperature. This is kind of on Joe, you know, ultimately.
Across the board, that maybe has people sort of riled up and taking things into their own hands, those sort of unfettered criminals and otherwise.
I think that's a great question, and again, we're waiting.
No, it's not. It's just victim blaming and really silly. Honestly, I feel sometimes like y'all do pretzels. Like, it's just a pretzel show. Like, you're all a bunch of people who make pretzels for a living, and then you just twist yourselves in weird little ways and try to do mental gymnastics to find out how do you spin this one. It's like, okay, so Jimmy Dore fan, extreme MAGA right winger, basically just tried to attack Nancy Pelosi's husband with a hammer. And how is this Joe Biden's fault? Well, he didn't lower the temperature. I mean, if anything, he's just turned the temperature up every time we see Joe Biden. He's just like, oh,
to find out what the motivation was. But there are two things that we could have on our hands here. Okay. You know, a crime situation that just happened more randomly or with some motivation, but wasn't really targeted at the Pelosi's per se. That shines a light.
I know it's been called out before, but where is your call for civility when Trump was calling media the Lugan press and the like? Oh, yeah, no shit. You're the lying press. You're fake news. You're the enemy of the people. The press is the enemy of the American people. And then it's just like, well, this is probably kind of incendiary, you know? I don't remember Trump ever doing the fucking Joe Biden. I disagree with Joe Biden's reach across the aisle tactic. I don't think you do not in fact need to befriend the fucking fash, but either way, Trump was not ever lowering the temperature. If anything, Trump was just like the living embodiment of gasoline, kerosene, fucking no, jet fuel. Yeah, he was jet fuel in terms of like raising the animosity and the hatred between both sides, where it's like, yeah, there used to be a time when Americans weren't so polarized. It's like, well, yeah, you got a person who's straight up just talking about fucking the worst possible things.
If we have a situation where this is politically motivated, you have to step back and say, why is our country so divided? President Biden, you got up to the podium and said you were going to bring us together. And that was one of the things you promised people. It's one of the reasons they voted from you and they backed away from Trump, because they did think that he was divisive. So why is this happening and why are we so polarized? It's a huge question right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So much more to cover and to learn. We will continue to monitor this story. Of course, our best with Paul Pelosi for a full and speedy recovery, and we will bring you that San Francisco Police Department presser as soon as it's happening.
According to The Guardian, Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was taken to hospital early on Friday after he was attacked at a couple's home in California with a hammer by an assailant who reported to have shouted, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" San Francisco police said that they were called to the Pelosi house in the city on a well-being check at about 2:27 a.m. local time on Friday. They found an adult male confronting Paul Pelosi with a hammer was being grasped by both men. The suspect pulled the hammer away from Mr. Pelosi and violently assaulted him. With it, our officers immediately tackled the suspect, disarmed him, and took him into custody. Scott named the suspect. Not going to name it. It was reported on CNN the suspect intended to tie the victim up until Nancy got home, and that he had posted right-wing and conspiracy theories online, including promoting the lie that Donald Trump was deprived of victory in the 2020 election. According to the Associated Press, the attacker was specifically targeted from the Pelosi family home. Video footage of the house showed glass shattered and a side entrance. A person briefed on the situation told Associated Press the intruder had confronted Paul Pelosi while demanding to know where his wife was. A similar chant of "Where's Nancy?" was made to the insurrectionists during the assault on the U.S. Capitol. The speaker was not home at the time of the attack, but was in Washington, D.C. with the security protection that accompanies her at all times. Her husband suffered a blunt force trauma to the head and to the body in the attack. In a statement, Pelosi spokesman Drew Hamill said the speaker's husband, 82, was receiving excellent medical care and is expected to make a full recovery. The speaker and her family are grateful to the first responders and the medical professionals, while the exact motivation for the attack was unclear. I mean, just look at the posts, watch a bunch of Jimmy Dore videos, you'll pretty much get it. In July, members of Congress were given $10,000 each to upgrade the security in their homes by facing the rising threats. Has Tim Pool sounded off on this? I'm curious, because Tim Pool's really big on when people in politics are threatened. He's made a lot of things about the Supreme Court threats and potential tax. So I'm guessing he's going to be all over this one. Nonviolent offenders should get house arrest, ankle monitors. Violent offenders should be locked up longer. So was someone trying to assassinate Pelosi? Question mark. Oh no, crack conspiracy theories. David finally understands and now completely agrees with us on free speech. Glad to see it. If they remove moderation, all we have to do is let the right-wingers do the work for us and show us their true colors. All we have to do is nothing and feed into it. Don't leave Twitter. Who's leaving Twitter, by the way? Like, I know a lot of people are suddenly doing this thing with the whole Twitter transfer where they're like, oh, there's going to be an exodus of the left. The left is going to leave. I have not seen a single leftist be like, bye-bye. Elon owns this now. I mean, if anything, it's just going to be fun to see whether or not Elon speed runs destroying a public company and, you know, losing $40 billion. I'm here for the ride, baby. I predict two additional Democratic seats in both the House and the Senate. Let's see how this plays out. If the GOP thinks it's won, then it's already lost. Assume the worst and go vote. It's crazy that it took us this long to realize why Obama was such a good president. Only now realizing the earth is overpopulated. Do we see the genius in blowing up kids? Dave Matthews joins Fetterman rally. Oh, neat. It's happening. Entire team of data engineers let go. These are two of them. Two data engineers let go, and that's the entire team. Okay. Board of Medicine Committee approved rule to ban minors with gender dysphoria. Whoa. CNN reporting Pelosi attacker posted about politics. Well, yeah, posted about right-wing politics. Twitter will be forming a content moderation council. Bad move, in my opinion. Twitter should pardon political prisoners and use a new council for future enforcement. It's a cult. Shit flag poster is about to go up. Noble Rooster, center ground. So not too much talk. A little talk about Nancy Pelosi. Not really like outright condemning it or being really upset, but, you know, as you do. So you've just been listening to an episode of The Surf Times. And if you enjoy it and want to see The Surf Times, you can go to wearesurfs.com or watch the live shows at thesurfs.tv. And also everywhere social media is sold, basically thesurfs.tv. You'll find us there. Twitter.com/thesurfstv, for example. It would also help us out tremendously if you could leave a good review of this podcast if you enjoyed it, either on, I don't know, iTunes or wherever you're podcasting. Apparently it does help. And yeah, we hope to see you soon.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Joust, we are prepared to conduct many a human sacrifices in your honor. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are but your humble yet incompetent jesters, trying in vain to bring some levity into your life. To our lord, Trevor R., we give you thanks for this meager plot of land for us to toil away our pathetic existence. To our brave knights, Carl Wauer, Tony, DM Rivera, Resident Scarecrow, Sir Nickus, Mayred, Cheryl Alvarez, Ruben Kelly, Brandon, Words Greenwood, Nate, Hegbert Celine, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariane McCarthy, Daniel Sutton, Coulter Smith, Jenna Tao, Quiet 185, Anna Loves Riley, Omni, Riley and Anna, Poodlehawk, The Tim Caucus, Multimondi, Trevor Janis, Lemmy101, Anthropophojack, Saren42, Catherine, Ramon Acosta, Nkosin, Agent NDN, Violent Orchard, Political Puppy, Andreas Chiringuito, Zach Christensen, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We salute our mighty heroes off to conquest some bread in some far-off lands.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.